In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark and Louise Reed, as we talk about, are you a foolish virgin or are you a wise virgin? Join us to find out which one you are. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and... Oh, sorry, you just took a slug of your water at the wrong
just
moment.
Just at the wrong time. And it's Louise Reed.
Oh, thanks. You can go back to drinking your
Thank
water.
You. That's Thank
great.
You.
It's great. I'm glad you're here, listeners. I hope you're enjoying our journey through What the Prophets Say podcast land. I hope you've listened to all the episodes and forwarded your favourite ones to your best buddies.
Yes.
Yes, that'll be good. How are you today, Louise?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm very good. I was going to say, I'm starting to slightly move into silly zone.
Oh, so you are at your most entertaining in silly zone.
No, I need to pull myself back into...
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Sensible broadcast.
Sensible
Can I ask,
broadcast,
why
yeah.
are both your shoelaces undone?
I don't really know. I think I got bored halfway through and just tucked them in instead.
And didn't complete the task.
I'm not great. I'm not a completer finisher by nature.
Even for your own shoes.
And I feel that with things like shoes, if it had a buckle, I would do it up.
Oh, I cannot stand buckles on shoes.
Well, I don't think I have a pair that has a buckle now that
so
I think
many,
about
like
it.
The ones I've got on today have buckles at the back. And it's a whole fankle to get down there. It's a fankle. And then you've got to figure out.
What's a fankle?
Oh, something to carry on.
It's like a rankle.
And then, so because I've lost a little bit of weight.
Oh. You've lost off your feet as well, haven't you?
Totally.
Yeah, and you got to get a new little
This morning,
hole
I'm
in
like,
your
which buttonhole? Which, yeah. See? The middle age problems of getting down there to your feet and figuring out which on the buckle. Did I sound very decrepit there?
Emma, can I just say a little more Pilates and you would be fine. You'd be down at those ankles in a flash.
No, I can touch my toes quite comfortably for stretching. Yeah.
Good. Well, that's important.
But it's when you're bent over and all the blood runs to your head because it's taking so long to get the buckles on.
I know. I just do that for a little excitement. Never mind what needs to be buckled up or buckled down. Anyway, I do not have many.
This is not life tips.
I don't have many shoes that have buckles, but I do have some that have laces and boots that have zips. And but I have to say,
what are the other options?
Well, poor. There's ones now that you can just slide your feet into and they automatically go together.
That's
the
old woman's shop you went to.
No, I never looked at a pair. I just heard about them.
Okay.
Something to look forward to in the future.
I think it's called Echo.
Shop. Echo. Mm-hmm. My mother used to wear Echo shoes. They're very expensive. Though.
Very comfortable.
Comfortable, but expensive.
Yeah,
there
I
you go.
Actually own a pair.
Do you? Yes. Of Echo shoes?
Yes, I'm so old.
Emma.
But I'll show you them later. They're actually quite trendy.
I don't, oh, really?
You know when they're so old, they're actually trendy?
No. Oh. I'm not at that phase yet.
Shall we prophesy?
I think we should move on to something that is...
The glass behind the glass.
Yeah, we're getting faces. Luke's eyes are darting at us from behind there.
Listen, listeners, you got to pray for Luke.
Yeah.
Because Luke Sampson is a sign and a wonder and a gift.
He is.
He's one of the most patient people I've ever met. He films all that we do.
Yeah.
And then he goes away with it and edits it.
He does.
And he must hear our voices like a drone in his ear. Bless him.
I know, but you know what? He is... being transformed from one degree of glory to another as we speak.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. So we have the incredible Luke, and then we have Karen Karen Sturt.
Sturt.
That's not how you say it.
It is.
Sturt.
Sturt. That's what I said.
Anyway, she sits on the floor on Karen's cushion, and she is an incredible intercessor, and we call her Scary Spice because there's no demon that can stay while she is around, so we are grateful for her presence. And then Roz, who is here to...
Mrs. Order. Okay.
Yeah, to wave.
Let me say something quite controversial and we'll riff around some ideas. I was at a church recently that shall not be named, and I was utterly heartbroken in that I want to live encountering.
Yes.
And I think the whole word of God is written that I might be washed in truth, that I might go precept upon precept, statute upon statute, quoting the word, that I study to show myself approved, all of these scriptural thoughts. And at the end of all of that, it is so that being anchored in truth, I might know my God. Mm. That those who know their God, you know, they're the ones that do great exploits. Again, I'm quoting scripture there, those that know their God, you know. So I want to know him and I want to encounter him. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that is absolutely one of the core facets of mm-hmm. our faith, mm-hmm. that it is encounter through truth. Mm-hmm. It is encounter and relationship through the word of God and the person of Jesus yes. Christ, who is my way, my truth, my life for the world. And in all of that, when I start to see things that look like human experience rather than divine encounter, mm. I get very distressed. Mm. Because I think there's a lot of worship that we sit through, Louise, that we go, that's nonsense. And we all know it's nonsense. And it doesn't even deceive itself. It just knows it's substandard. Mm-hmm. And at least there's honesty and integrity. That worship was substandard. But what I have been watching is, it's not a demonic issue of like a demonic oppression or manifestation. And it's absolutely not a Holy Spirit manifestation, but it is the driving in hyped worship into a human frenzy. So you think you encountered God, but you only experience the frenzy of your own emotional state. Because the worship and the music was so hyped that I wouldn't even use the word performance, because performance is too shallow a thought. But it was pulling people into this place where they felt that they had done a good work, and it was a carry on of nonsense.
Yes. Well, we've all. I'm still in shock about the fact that you started saying it broke your heart.
It did break my heart.
Because yes, I know it broke uh-huh. your heart. Uh-huh. But it's also quite annoying. I find that annoying.
Oh because yes, I mean, I was cross as well.
Yeah, because I think you're feeling the complex emotions of God in this, mm-hmm. that he knows what the fruit of true worship is and what the win of that is. And his people are being robbed.
Yes.
But they are robbing themselves. Now, look, we've all been in situations, in fact, I've been in situations that I've led where it has been, if we've fallen into something that is of the flesh and not of the spirit. But honestly, you kind of know it, and you know quite quickly. And then you have to work out, is there time to remedy this or not? But the real grief is situations that live like this and don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I think I would, because we're in the day of my head is here, because we're in the day of the remnant from the remnant.
Yeah.
That means that I'm going to be looking at a broad swathe of people who believe they are remnant. And there, but by the grace of God, we're all in that. Jesus, please, you yeah. know, help us all. Help me, help you as the listeners here. Because we're going from the remnant of the remnant, and we're in that Matthew 25, where the wise virgins are separated from yeah. the foolish virgins, we are having to take that scripture and go, how would you measure foolishness today? Mm. And what would foolish church look like? Mm-hmm. What would foolish experiences mm. be? What would I'm in the house of God, what would be the left behind remnant, if mm-hmm. I can use that, versus the consecrated separated remnant? And I think there are two sides to it. I think there is that hyped place mm-hmm. that doesn't discern between human flesh mm. and spiritual led mm-hmm. holy encounter. Mm-hmm. I actually want to spit mm. and call it pseudo Pentecostalism
mm-hmm. yeah, fair enough.
Or pseudo charismaticism. And then I think there's the other side completely, which is a drier place.
Yeah.
But they are in what we would call cultural Christianity. And I think the Lord is saying, beware, beware, beware. Both of those mm. in this epoch, because both are the foolish virgins.
Correct. Yeah.
And if we're naming the foolish virgins, it's not just one thing. It's a multiplicity of error that creates you to be one who loves Jesus, but is foolish in it.
Yeah.
And that you can actually be saved, but be a foolish virgin.
Yeah.
And you can have given your life integrously to Christ, but be in a flesh encounter in one hyped up mm-hmm. world, or you can be in cultural Christianity where your religion is a set of concepts, but there's no experience. And that sense of it being like a cut flower, that I've got something beautiful in my hand. This is cultural Christianity now. I've got something beautiful in my hand, but I have severed it from its origin point where my faith must not just be useful, but must be my absolute reality. Mm. And when my faith is useful for me to leverage politics, or when my faith is useful for me to be somebody who marches down, I don't know, a capital city in whatever nation you're in, when my faith is useful for lobbying, but it is cut from it being an encounter and a true source, but it's useful to get the political party that I want in place, I might say you're a foolish virgin.
Yeah, what strikes me as you're saying that is that there's possibly many manifestations of foolishness.
Yes.
But the reason is always the same.
Go there.
And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's the disconnection from the root. It's no longer in the vine. So whether you're talking cultural Christianity, whether you're talking a religious church that's just dead, or whether you're talking about what was a maybe charismatic or Pentecostal church and maybe had life in the spirit, but somehow has ended up in the flesh. It's different manifestations, but the same thing is, once we become disconnected from source, there is only one possibility. It's always towards death, because there's no longer the sap of the spirit. Now, when you're talking about worship scenarios, I mean, my goodness, and we all have interesting stories about that. Don't you feel that one prayer that we need to be so praying is, apart from, Lord, keep us in you, but just so much a gift of discernment, so that when we are starting to move out of that reliance and being completely in him, that we become aware. I mean, you started off the podcast talking about encounter. You use the word encounter.
Yes.
Well, I mean, read the Bible. It is encounter with the living God.
Yes.
And his desire for encounter with us, and his remedy for when there is no encounter, no desire for encounter, no willingness for encounter, right the way through from beginning to end. It's a story of God desiring oneness with his creation and his people. And when he doesn't have it, what he does to bring his people back to him, beginning to end.
I think what the Lord is saying right now in the earth is, I am identifying the foolish virgins.
For sure.
I think that's where we are. And as you rightly say, the foolishness takes many forms. Now, I do want to sit in a thought, particularly on the cultural Christianity side of the argument, or the politically minded side of the people of God, in that I hear an awful lot, well, you know, our faith must work itself out, and our faith must work itself out in the public square. Now, I think there's total validity to that, that our faith works itself out in the public square. But I would want to say this, and this is quite strong. The political structure does look like it will give faith a form if you're not careful. Let me say that again. The political structure will look like it will give your faith a form, but faith only forms in relationship, not in a structure. Let me go there again. This is absolutely fundamental. It looks to many of us that the political structure can give our faith a form, but faith only forms in relationship and in encounter, not in a structure.
Correct.
Thank you for agreeing.
I do agree because I'm pretty passionate about that.
So, but I think that's the error. I think the error is, well, but I'm working out my faith. No, but I'm working out my faith and I'm working out my faith and it's moving into an infiltration of the political system. No. You're supposed to depopulate the political system and take people from the political system into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
The political structure will not give your faith a form. And this sense that politics will give you things, but faith will give you meaning.
For sure.
Very different kind of things. And so this kind of cultural Christianity where I think God is saying, you've got to watch, you're not a foolish virgin, is that we're now living a cultural Christianity or a theology that takes our faith and perverts it,
mm-hmm.
and makes you think, and this is the lie, makes you think that it's only really working faith if politics has entertained it.
Mm-hmm. And this is so anti-Bible.
Yes.
Because if we understood when Jesus came, mm-hmm. and everybody expected him to enter the political scene and be a political hero,
yeah.
whatever that was going to look like. And essentially, he really ignored the whole scene. He was yes. bringing a kingdom with him.
To stand alone and separate.
That is completely separate. And
that didn't need the structures of the world never, to endorse it or back it.
Never yeah. even, never entered his mind, I don't think. And the progression that we've gone in Christianity over the last 2,000 years, of course we know the whole merge with politics. Mm-hmm. And there's never been a day when it hasn't been bad for the kingdom of God.
Yeah. I think that power and the seeking of power has always been the problem here.
Mm.
Because we perceive politics to be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so our seeking of that is our problem.
Yeah, because we think it's the ultimate vehicle for change.
Yes.
Without realizing. And I think partly the problem is because we have lost power and authority and the use of true power and authority in the church, we have looked elsewhere thinking, mm-hmm. oh, well, we need to go there for a vehicle of change and power and authority in other systems of the world. Whereas that is not the kingdom that Jesus brought.
It's not.
This is we are in a kingdom of ultimate power and authority.
Absolutely. And so in all of that, as we come to the day when the Lord is saying to us as prophets, I am identifying the foolish virgins,
yeah.
both in that sort of Pentecostal hype
yeah.
and in that cultural Christianity that doesn't even realize.
Yeah.
Can I say, I think there are some atheists who are very integrous, God save them, but at least they say we want cultural Christianity yes. because we like its conservative values.
Yes, and we like the fruit of it. We like what it brings. We like it's not even so much the substance, but it's the construct. And you yes. said structure. We like that because it brings a level of order and system. But I think that is like robbing from the kingdom of God.
It's the cut flower analogy. Yes.
But you will never be saved through the structure yes. of that. Because it is, it's Christianity without Christ.
And I mean, the Bible is full of the concept, it cycles through the concept repetitively of exile and return.
Yeah.
Now, we talk about the rise and fall of empires
yeah.
within our common parlance, but the Bible doesn't really talk about the rise or decline and fall, rise and fall of empires. It more talks about his people being in exile
yeah.
and then in return. So slightly different emphasis. But I do think that in the identification of the foolish virgins, there is a cycling window of grace for exile and then return.
Mm.
But we are going to see the foolish. You see, what happens to the foolish virgins is they leave the place they're supposed to be. They positionally change and they try to go back to remember where they got fire from.
Mm.
And of course, they miss so much. Mm. And I think we're going to be in a few cycles of this, of the diminishing of the foolish, the identification and then the diminishing of the foolish virgins. And what we're going to be looking at is I don't think you've got fire. And that is in our corporate worship, in that pseudo Pentecostal, pseudo charismatic thing. I don't think you've got fire. I think you've got hype. Mm. Or in the cultural Christianity world, or the Christian nationalism world, we can go into both of those. I don't think you've got fire. I think you've got a political structure that you think will validate your faith. Mm-hmm. I don't think you've got fire. I think you've got a conservative value preference, mm-hmm. but no root connection. I don't think you've got fire. I think you've got protectionism and elitism of your nation rather than citizenship of the kingdom. And so what you're saying within the identification of the foolish virgins is, I don't think you've got fire.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, isn't it interesting? It's such a small story thrown in there.
Yes.
In the midst of other parables. And yet it stands out like on stalks at the moment in this season. And there is so much similarity between all of them just until the end.
I think
just
that is
until
it.
The end.
Yes, I think that's it. And so when the Lord is saying you're in the days of the identification of the foolish virgins, some of it looks quite like, well, that march you took up that, you know, Capitol High Street, or that petition you signed, or that lobbying group, you looked initially like a good idea, but there's the bravery to assess, was it the fire of God? Was it connected to deep spirit-led revelation? Was it deeply grounded
was
into...
Was there oil?
Was, yes.
And would
yes.
you... And the question, am I to say this to myself, would I notice if I had no oil? Do people notice if they have no oil? Or are we so used to being so married to our particular way or style or whatever it might be that we don't even recognize that we have become disconnected from the source, that the river of life isn't flowing and that the oil is missing? The bridesmaids were the same. The virgins
terrifying.
Were the same. They went to sleep. They all went to sleep.
Yes.
They all woke up.
And?
But then?
Yeah.
Where's the oil?
And I think I've heard some, even some folk who I would say we know and we know well, who are saying, I'm absolutely a Christian nationalist because what are my other alternatives?
Yeah.
An unchristian globalist. I've literally heard that broadcast.
Yeah.
If I'm not a Christian nationalist, I must be a non-Christian globalist. And I want to scream and say, since when was anything that crass and binary, in the sense that it's not either or? What about you're a citizen of the kingdom
I
of
know,
God,
yes,
which is
sure.
a completely different thought process to both those places.
But quite a frightening thought, because you're taking away a structure and actually you're saying the structure of the kingdom is what is here and now.
Yes.
And it is run on oil and wine.
Yeah.
It's run on encounter and relationship. It's word and spirit. And this is where we get very nervous, because we realize how much we are married to tradition.
Yes.
And to our political constructs, that where we have aligned that with a church, and we have aligned that in different ways that has brought such a security.
Yes.
And we have thought like this for generations. And suddenly the Lord is coming along and saying, no, no, the season that we're now in, the epoch of time, that is all going, because there's a remnant and there's a purity coming forth in these end days, or whatever you want to call them, and what's happening in the whole state of the earth. And these previous ways just will not stand. They just won't. They will collapse.
I would want to push around some of the thoughts of some of the thinkers of our day, not necessarily theologians, but some of the thought leaders of our day, which always fascinate me, because I think they're prophets in disguise, whether they know it or not. But I think what we see in that pseudo-Pentecostalism, which I know is such an unfortunate phrase, terminology, that pseudo-charismaticism, is the sense of the sledgehammer approach, that wildness is equated to be frenetic, and freedom is my body vibrating under the power of my own emotions.
Yeah.
And actually, you're as much a prisoner. If I use the words, it looks like a sledgehammer approach. It looks heavy-handed. I've got to contort my body to look like I've got free. And it is that, you know, it's not a good dance.
No.
It's heavy-handed sledgehammer. I also think that on the other hand, the Christian nationalism, there's a heavy-handed sledgehammer because I use the sledgehammer of what I see is political structure giving faith a form, which we don't believe is possible because they're opposite kingdoms. So in that sledgehammer approach, I would want to use this concept of soul craft, which comes from one of the thinkers of the day. Actually, David Brooks uses the phrase soul craft. But the culture change is something slightly different. It's not the sledgehammer. A societal change, culture change, it's about the heart. And we know that as Christians, it's a soul craft. It's not a political structure. It's a soul craft. It's about the heart. It's not about my body contorting under my own emotional hijinks. It's a soul craft. It's about my heart. And therefore, I get transformation when a small number of people find a better way to live and others copy it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the remnant of the remnant is. It's those who have, or let's use that Matthew concept, it's the wise virgins who understand a different way to live that is authentically encountering God. They are not cut flowers. They don't have beauty with no root substance, but this heart posture of authentic encounter that shows that there's a better way to do it, that it depopulates Christian nationalism. It depopulates non-Christian globalism. It depopulates pseudo-charismaticism. It depopulates all that we have going on. And it says in a small group of wise virgins, here's a heart that knows how to burn.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a heart that is experimenting with deep encounter with the Spirit of God. And that is where freedom is. And that is where life is. And it sets a standard for the rest of the world to depopulate from the structures of the world into the heart of what the kingdom is. And I think God is calling small groups with good soul craft who understand the heart free and the heart in encounter, wise virgins. And the Lord is, I do think, giving the foolish virgins a grace space to turn and to look and to identify their foolish virginal state, because they still love Jesus, but they're foolish in it. It's not that we doubt their salvation. It's not that we doubt their desire for transformation, but we know they're foolish in their orientation of how that is achieved, and that the Lord is putting in place a group of leadership who model by putting on the cameras, literally to show what small groups look like, who understand transformation and live in a way that others can come into a righteous copying of that because of its soul, heart, authenticity and its spiritual authenticity. I think that's where we are in church history. And so if you can sledgehammer the concept of the separation of the remnant, but you have to be able to say that if you're going to be identified as a foolish virgin, you have the opportunity to have eyes on the wise virgins, which is why I think, even as I look around the room here and the class behind the glass here, that we've got somebody from Atlanta, somebody about to set up camp in Japan, look here in Scotland, you with a trajectory to Ireland, me also in Scotland, that we're looking in the nations of these groups of wise virgins. And the group must be small because it must be able to model a better way to live and not continually be co-opting those on its fringes to opt in. Otherwise, it's harassing and corralling of sheep, which is why the group must be small. So if you're living in a small soul craft group that is about the heart to change the culture, you're probably spot on as a wise virgin.
Absolutely. And I think that is the pioneering space
Yes.
right now. And Emma, just as you're talking, I mean, just feeling the strength of the emotion of God, how he is so set on revelation for those who are foolish right now.
Yes.
You can just feel the sense of such intentionality of God. He is moved. He is inspired to move people from foolishness. Because and what I've heard him saying to me recently is he is so focused on his reward. His reward, I mean, our reward is his, is him, but his reward is us. He desires to move people from foolishness
he does
into wisdom
he does.
And righteousness and right place.
It's true.
And we need to call out, and this is why we're doing this podcast, to call out the foolishness, because cultural Christianity, I think, is probably one of the most dangerous things that is here and is ahead, because it looks good.
Yes.
It tastes good.
Yes.
It smells good.
Yes.
But it is not
fire.
It's not. And it's not even the kingdom. I'm going to say it as far as this. It's a false kingdom, because it's taking the structure of God, but without him, without encounter.
Yes.
So you will have a good life if you live your life by cultural Christianity.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you have substances that are sort of constructs of the kingdom, but you will not have Christ because that requires the laying down of your life, going through the narrow door. That requires being crucified so that you can rise with him. It's a whole different life of encounter with him that cultural Christianity does not require.
Or Christian nationalism does not require.
Or Christian nationalism
either. Because you find comfort in a political structure which you think is aiding your faith.
Because you think it is the kingdom of God.
That is the error. And I think society depends on the spiritual life of the wise virgins. That's a massive thing to say. I think society depends on the spiritual life of the wise virgins. And you cannot be saved even by the perfect governmental structure.
No.
You just can't. You just can't. And so people are waiting to be people are waiting to be inspired by pioneers who can restore confidence in another way. I am fascinated. And with this thought, we might wrap up. I'm fascinated by the non-sharing of the wise virgins with the foolish virgins. It almost reads as selfish. And I don't think that that's the intention of the passage, that the foolish virgins are sent away to go and remember how fire comes.
Yeah.
And I think that is because that you get diluted very easily if you say, oh, I'll walk with you. I'll join your pseudo-Pentecostalism.
Yeah.
I'll join your Christian nationalism. I'll join your cultural Christianity. I'll join all of these edifices that are not fire. And then you get lost by the tidal wave of their agreement. And so you don't see them partner, the wise and the foolish virgins, because I think it is the need for the wise virgins to go and to inspire by holding the values without compromise of fire and encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And that can seem like separation, but I think it is.
It is separation and distinction.
It is distinction. You've got to be careful of ego in that. You've got to be careful of isolationism in that. But you've got to be careful that you are visible, because it's in the visibility of that small group that you offer another way to live.
Yeah.
So you can't be a wise virgin and be invisible or siloed. You have to be a wise virgin, if I use today's social media language, with cameras on.
Right.
Barring those who will dilute you seriously,
so
that you have something to model for them to become.
Well, the point of fire is to be seen. Yes. If you hide fire, it goes out. So, yes. I mean, it's self-explanatory.
You're into a city on a hill, cannot be hidden. Nobody absolutely. Likes a lamp and hides it under a bushel, but you light a lamp and set it on a lampstand. You're in the parables of Jesus. Yeah.
Like, and yeah. I mean, aren't we in the days, you know, John the Baptist said, you know, I'll baptize you with water for repentance, but one is coming. He will baptize you with fire. And the Holy Spirit. And we're still in that point of still calling out for that, for the church, for the remnant. Keep going.
No, I think it is now this sense of be brave to identify that's a foolish virgin and that's a wise virgin. And be okay with that. Be okay with saying that's good, no fire, in your word, no oil. Yeah. Be okay with that. But also be okay to understand that you can curate a small number of people with a camera on, however that means in your context, with eyes on, to show a better way to live that others can copy. That's where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Model it to others. Show it to others for sure.
Yeah. And please don't think that hype saves, or that structure saves, or that law saves, or that politics saves, or that mega churches save. Don't be, let's grow up past that and understand that only Jesus saves. And that faith does not get outworked in political structure.
For sure.
Faith gets outworked in relationships. Woohoo!
I'll tell you, this is keeping us on our toes.
Yes.
Keeping us humble, keeping us yielded.
Yes.
Keeping us in the fire. Being transformed and sharper than ever, and with no criticism or any state of being better than somebody else. Let's just be clear about that.
Yeah.
Because we know the cost that's required.
Yeah.
And we know the revelation that's required to find ourselves in living in wisdom rather than in foolishness. And and God will give it to us if we ask.
Yeah. Yeah. There's hope in it. Well, this is an episode you're going to have to share. Find a share button. Find a pass on to your friend button. Maybe even get them to listen and then chat with you. Send this one to your home group because this is hitting a lot of the issues that you need to unpack. If you need to go and buy my book, Prophets, Politics and Nations, it will give you a deeper dive into some of what we talked about. Thank you for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello friends, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.